When you're a kid, you're always getting bumps and bruises and cuts and scrapes, all sorts of things that hurt but mend pretty quickly. But chronic pain is also surprisingly prevalent in children. Dr. Tina Yannaste is the head of pain and palliative care research at the Sydney Children's Hospital, and Dr. Meg Goodison-Farnsworth is a clinical psychologist there. Tina, pain can have an obvious cause, of course, but it can also be a bit mysterious. What is chronic pain?
Well, chronic pain is a condition where the pain just doesn't seem to go away. There's no longer an injury, so perhaps the injury has already healed, and yet for some reason the brain continues to get messages of pain over and over, despite the injury having healed.
And how common is chronic pain in children?
It's really common. So we know from a large-scale systematic review of the literature by Sarah King in 2011 that one in four school children has headaches at least weekly, and one in five has abdominal pain at least weekly. And with back pain is also pretty common, so like one in four might have back pain at least once a month. So that's really a lot of children who are experiencing pain.
And not necessarily accountable to any particular reason.
That's right. I mean, sometimes they may have had an injury, but that may have long healed. And it's difficult for them to understand why the pain is continuing on.
Well, Meg, at Sydney Children's Hospital, you have a pain clinic. Who are the children you're typically seeing there?
We see a range of children. Probably 50% of our pain children presenting with pain have abdominal pain, functional abdominal pain, and that's one of the ones that there can sometimes be no obvious cause for. You know, it's not an injury. They have abdominal pain. We have significant number of children with headaches. That's probably the next relevant group. We have widespread musculoskeletal pain, and we have something called CRPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome. And all of these can start for no reason at all.
It must be very difficult for parents, Meg, let alone the kids themselves, to cope with the prospect that, you know, there's no firm physical diagnosis for the children's pain. How do parents deal with it?
Some of them really struggle. You know, you get at that wide range of, oh, well, it must be all in their head, to complete catastrophisation about the cause and running around and trying to find a cause for pain. And so coming to us, it's all about how we support those children and their parents and the rest of the family. And it's validate, educate and support is really where we come from.
Well, let's hear now from Brooke Peterson. Brooke is an 18-year-old. She's a nursing student, and Brooke has had chronic pain since she was around 11 years old. And Brooke, you're one of those who has no firm medical explanation for the pain that you've suffered, that starting in your foot for several years now. What have your doctors concluded might have happened to you?
Yeah, that's correct. So initially I was diagnosed with Freiberg's infraction disease, which is the disintegration of the third metatarsal in my right foot. So they believed that I had gotten a stress fracture through that, which had caused the ongoing pain.
Do you remember getting some sort of injury?
Not particularly, no. I didn't remember the injury, but I do remember the pain and how I wasn't taken seriously by a lot of people because as young children, we're always, yeah, getting bumps, bruises, and always told to harden up in a sense. So when the pain wasn't going away for a particularly long time, I started to get worried because I didn't believe it was normal.
Yeah, well, I think it took you around 18 months before you got that diagnosis. So tell me more about how it was for you over that time.
Yeah, unfortunately, it did take quite a long time. It was very frustrating because, once again, I wasn't taken seriously. I was told several times that, oh, it will just go away if you know, do rehab and go to physio, doing other exercises. But, yeah, it was very frustrating time because I was also at school as well and not being able to keep up with my friends.
What's the pain like, Brooke?
Everyone experiences something different, but I would get very sharp pains as if someone like stabbing a needle throughout my foot that would then radiate up my leg.
Mm. Tina, does what Brooke's saying about not being believed or not being taken seriously sound familiar? You know, pain is still misunderstood, even in the medical profession.
It is widely misunderstood because people often start off with a mindset of acute pain. Everyone's experienced acute pain and they know that it gets better. So it's sort of hard for people to understand why they're experiencing pain, but it's just not getting better.
And Tina, what are the strategies then that can help children and teenagers cope with chronic pain?
Well, it's interesting really because although the pain is so prevalent, we don't actually see all of those children who have chronic pain coming to the chronic pain clinics. There are actually many children who are functioning quite well even with their pain. So I think we need to learn from what it is that they're doing, what makes them resilient.
Mm.
And it's not just about them being the tough kids. That's just so not true. It's about learning about, yes, what they can do as individuals in taking ownership and taking an active role in coping, but it's also looking at what's happening within the family factors, the social situation, school, and broader organisational and cultural factors, and considering all these different levels and how they're working in that child or adolescent's life.
And Meg, if you are working with children, what are some specific strategies that you work with them on?
Well, we do a full team approach. So we're looking at, and we really push it as a rehabilitation program, which is getting them as functional as possible and getting them back into and fully engaged in life. We don't necessarily concentrate on the decrease of their pain. We hope that that's going to happen. But some of those management, so we all come at it, we tend to use mindful management, that's mindful movement, mindful attention, and mindful strategies around. And one of them could be looking at how we can externalise our pain and start having conversations with it and being curious with it.
Tell me more about how you externalise your pain.
It takes a little bit of time because I think if I'd said to Brooke, I want you to externalise your pain, she'd look at me as if I was completely mad. And so we do a lot of mindful strategies. So they actually get, doing body scans, working out all those sensations, and then getting them to be curious about their pain. Because it's not a solid lump. Pain often moves around and changes, has colours, and as Brooke describes, sharp, dull. So we get them to be curious and then asking them what it really does look like. And intriguingly, an abdominal pain girl who came in and said, "My pain's all over," isolated it down to a tennis ball in the centre of her tummy. And what would it look like if we hit that ball against the wall? So things like that.
And that helps.
Yes, it does. Not for everybody. And I think we really need to understand this is an individual experience. It's subjective. Everybody's pain is different. And what works for one is not necessarily going to work for another. And that's why that team approach is so, so important. But one of the really crucial things for management is really making sure they get a good night's sleep. If you rest and repair at night, you're more able to take on board and use those strategies in the morning. Because it really is a physical program, it's a mental program, it's getting back to school, looking at distraction techniques, and of course there is a role for medication as well.
You're listening to Life Matters and a discussion about children and chronic pain. Dr. Meg Goodison-Farnsworth is a clinical psychologist at Sydney Children's Hospital, and Dr. Tina Yannestay is the head of research on paediatric chronic pain there. And Brooke Peterson is an 18-year-old who's had chronic pain since she was 11. And tell me, as a parent, have you had to cope with a child with chronic pain? How do you manage your own distress as well as theirs? You can let us know on the Life Matters Facebook page. So, Brooke, when you got diagnosed with chronic pain, tell me how that did that change the kinds of things you could do or how you thought about yourself?
When I was first diagnosed, I had the idea of chronic pain like being able to identify me.
That you would be identified by your chronic pain. That was who you were.
Exactly. And okay. People would self-pity. things like that. But from before I had been diagnosed with chronic pain, I was already being socially excluded because and isolated as I wasn't able to keep up with my friends in the aspect of being able, you know, to walk around, go to the shops because I could only walk so far and I would have to stop, rest for the pain to go back down. So I had to modify a lot of things that I was able to do.
And what you're suggesting is that you were bullied?
Yeah, so when I started high school, I was in a moon boot for about 2 years, 24/7. So it was hard to move around at school as well because there was a lot of stairs. And with it being quite a large school, having to walk around with other kids as well. Some kids weren't very nice in the aspect of they didn't understand. So I was perceived to be an easy target to them.
Mm. So that's so mean. How did you cope with that?
I kind of just pushed it aside because I can't help the circumstances that I was in. But I had a very good friendship support group as well as my family was very supportive in the fact where you just don't really take notice of them and go on with your everyday life.
And did you have to give up things you liked doing or did you find a way around that?
Unfortunately, I was a competitive swimmer for quite a long period of time, but because the pain had escalated to the point where I wasn't able to fully involve myself within the sport, unfortunately, I had to give up and find other avenues.
Well, Tina, we're hearing from Brooke, you know, when you're a teenager with chronic pain, you're battling not just the pain, but also going through all sorts of things that teenagers go through, the bullying, but also just schoolwork and friendships and relationships. How do these sorts of emotional issues impact on the pain itself?
I mean, there's really a lot of a growing body of literature looking at the real importance of that peer network and the socialising, because like we know that adolescence is that time of growing independence and developing a self-concept. And so often the difficulties that they have with chronic pain tends to impact on, you know, a study by Paula Forgeron found that they have fewer friends, that they're more isolated and that they're considered less likable by than their healthy peers. But really, it's hard to know what's going on and what's causing what and why their school friends are responding in that way. But what we do know is that the adolescents who stay engaged in some way with their peers and their social networks are the ones who generally have a better pain outcomes. So it's so important for us to keep them engaged and look for opportunities. It may be in different ways to what they're used to, but looking for ways to keeping them engaged and active with their peers.
Well, Brooke, you're now studying to be a nurse. You would have been around a fair few nurses through your teenage years, I imagine. Did that influence your own career choice?
Yeah, I'd always been satisfied, fascinated me with the human body. So, and then having my personal experience as well with nurses, what not to be, how to be a good nurse and what not to do, I thought that it would be a good idea if I was able to then relate my personal experience onto someone else and help them.
And how does your pain feel now? How do you manage it nowadays?
I did do a pain clinic program with the Westmead Children's Hospital a few years ago, and that had taught me mindful techniques. Because it's a lot of it comes from the mind. So now it's just I have a routine and I also am on a medication that can help me sleep at night.
Meg, how easy or otherwise is it for children, for families to access help for children from a pain clinic as Brooke went to or like yours?
I think what Brooke was saying is quite often there's a significant time between when they get the pain and when they actually end up being referred, and I think it's around 2 years. So Brooke sort of fixed that. And pain clinics, and certainly paediatric pain clinics, are very few and far between. We're fortunate in Sydney that we've got Westmead, we've got Sydney Children's, and we've also got another one up at John Hunter. And when we get to rural areas, there's not necessarily the expertise in paediatric pain management. So it is very difficult. You know, when we're looking at the prevalence of chronic pain, and if it's not treated, it stands to reason that early intervention, you know, early identification and intervention is the way to go, but difficult to access.
You've developed, though, a website to help people in regional or remote places get advice on pain management?
Yes, we have. In conjunction with Westmead and John Hunter, we wrote a program called Pain Bites. And that goes through everything that we do. It looks at the role of medication, family supports, psychological supports, physio, child life, or what used to be called play therapy, all the aspects that we would do in a clinic. And it's a really great starting point if there is a young person out there with pain, is to get onto this. You don't have to do it in a stepwise. You can tap into whatever module you like. But importantly, read what chronic pain is. And I think just think education is just so important.
Well, Tina, what kinds of things can parents do and shouldn't do, I suppose, to help reduce the level of pain their children are experiencing or their child is experiencing?
There's lots of different ways parents can respond. Often the instinctive sort of thing that parents might do is, like, if the child or adolescent is engaging in pain behaviours or sick behaviours, the natural thing is to give them sympathy and to perhaps give them privileges, treats and things like that to help them make them feel better. But yet we know from the literature that if parents actually praise and give a positive attention to when the child or adolescent is really doing their best to use good coping strategies, that's so much more effective. So when they see their child using their relaxation or trying to pace their activities or doing things that are helping them, that are taking ownership, letting the child or the adolescent to take ownership of the problem, that's where the parents can reinforce and encourage that type of behaviour.
Mm. Brooke, what advice would you give to other kids who are growing up with chronic pain?
I would definitely say to try and reach out for any type of help that you can get, because it's only going to help you as well as your family understand what is happening, how to treat it, and the management for everything as well. Because there are some really good services.
Yeah, but how do you get it taken seriously? You weren't for a while.
Yeah, I think you have to be very persistent in the fact that you have to continue to argue the point for yourself and stand up for yourself, in the fact where people will be like, oh, you know, you'll just get over it sometime soon. It's only for a short period of time, like acute pain. But in the period of three months or more, you just need to be very persistent and also, strong-minded to be able to get your point across to health professionals.
And Brooke Peterson is a teenager, 18 years old, who's had chronic pain since she was 11. Dr. Tina Yanniste is the head of paediatric pain and palliative care at Sydney Children's Hospital. Tina's speaking at the Australian Pain Society conference on this in Sydney next month. And Dr. Meg Goodison-Farnsworth is a clinical psychologist also at Sydney Children's Hospital. And if you want more information about chronic pain when it comes to children or adults, there is a group called Pain Australia, and there's a link for that on the Life Matters website.